Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're talking law and order. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is our guest. First broadcast of the new year with you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, Bart, and all of our WGNS listeners. And I hope everybody's New Year's off to a good start. Been a little cold the last day or two, but warming trend for the weekend, I hear.
Does cold weather reduce crime?
It seems to push people more inside, and that seems to have a quelling effect, I guess you could say, on activities that are going on outside, much as in reverse, when the weather begins to warm and people get out and start moving about, that there seems to be an increase in calls for service during those times.
I know that you don't have all of the statistics at this point, but how did 2011 go here in Murfreesboro?
Well, I don't have them yet. I expect we'll have those probably within the next couple of weeks as we finish the end of year totals and all of the compilations and whatnot. What I suspect we will see is probably an increase in property crimes, burglaries, thefts, those kinds of things. That's been seemingly a trend across the country for the last 2-3 years. Since we've been in the recession period, property crime typically always goes up when you have situations where unemployment is an issue and where cash is an issue for people just simply because they're out of work. I think property crimes typically go up during those times, and we've been no different from that. I don't want to speculate on what we'll see in the other crime categories. Generally, I think, though, the year has been, we've been pretty fortunate in a lot of those other violent crime categories during 2011. So I'm along with others, I'm anxiously awaiting to see what those numbers look like. I know that during the holiday season, we staffed additional personnel at various locations around the city, being very attentive for armed robberies and other types of violent crimes, particularly what we've seen in years past at cash stores and title stores and some of our tobacco stores where we had robberies last Christmas season, and feel pretty good about the outcome of most of those. We had a few during the holiday season, but not very many.
Did the word, you think, get out to the criminals?
I think it did, but even more important than that, our officers worked really, really hard during that time. We arrested a number of folks that were involved in some of those types of activities, as well as people who were involved in burglaries and thefts during the holidays, and I think that had an effect on the commission of those kinds of crimes in our city. So we're very proud of the work that they did during the holidays, and 'cause really, I suppose one way of saying this is, to the average citizen in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, or beyond, what you hope will happen is that law enforcement is almost a transparent part of your existence, in that you really don't give much thought to it unless you need the police or unless you've been a victim of a crime. So to the extent that most of our citizens went about their holiday, they spent time with family and friends, and they worshiped, and they enjoyed the holidays and their time away from work without having to worry about what the police were doing or weren't doing. That's by design, because you know, we like very much being able to work in the background and let people go on about their lives and enjoy the things that make them happy and that are productive parts of you know, their life with their families.
It is comforting, I think, to see so many police officers. And I notice it when we're here in Murfreesboro versus other cities. I don't know if it's the officers per capita or whatever it is, but it seems like everywhere you go, there's a police car and a police officer, so you feel a little more secure.
Well, I hope so. As we discuss often, there's probably not a police chief in America that wouldn't tell you that they'd like to have more officers than what they do. The fact of the matter is, the police and the government is no different than we are in our individual lives and our budgets at home. There are always things that we'd like to be able to afford at home that we just can't, whether it's a new car or a bigger house or new furniture or new clothes or, you know, educational expenses for our children or whatever those things are. We all have to make decisions about how we spend our money based on what we have. But having said that, I think our city and our county is very fortunate to be able to provide the law enforcement services and programs that we do, that our taxpayers so graciously fund with their tax dollars. And we try to be good stewards of that money and use those resources as efficiently as we possibly can.
By the way, if you have any questions dealing with law and order that you'd like to ask to Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman, we're opening up those phone lines. So if you have any questions, the number to call is 893-1450, 893-1450. As you look into your wish list, I guess we could call it, we're at the beginning of a new year, and there are things that I'm sure that you would like to have to enable the Murfreesboro Police Department to do a better job. What are some of the things that are on the very top of it?
Well, I think one of the big things that we hope to realize, hopefully during the first quarter, and is some additional space for our criminal investigation staff. We took an item to the council in December, actually, to request to rent some commercial space away from police headquarters, just to provide us with some additional space for our criminal investigation division. When I went to work for the police department a lifetime ago, we had this building next door here was pretty new. It was pretty spacious. We had a whole floor that was designated for criminal investigations. And I think at that time we may have had 5 to 8, maybe as many as 10 detectives. I don't think we had quite that many then. And so we had plenty of space there, and as we've grown, that building was built in 1973. As we've grown as a city and as a department, we've just eclipsed the space that we have there. We now have 47 people assigned to criminal investigations, split up in several different operational kinds of settings, and so we've just outgrown that space. And one of the things that we asked the council to do in December was to allow us to rent some space off-site to give our criminal investigators more room, to give them places where they could not only conduct their office operations but process evidence, put cases together, handle the business aspect of everything that goes along with the criminal investigation process. And it's important that I throw in here for the listeners, because I know you got a call holding. One of the questions that was asked was, if you move those folks off site, is there any risk or any concern that you're going to be interviewing criminal suspects at this building that's actually near a residential neighborhood? And we assured the council, and we want to assure the public, that custodial interviews, where we actually have people in custody and we're bringing them in to question them in connection with a crime, those will continue to be done at police headquarters, as will the registers or the registration process for people who are on the sexual offender registry, who have to come to the police building regularly, check in with a police officer and verify their address and if they're working and, you know, movements and so forth in connection with their sexual offender status. So those things will continue to be done at the police building. And what we'll see in this rental space for our criminal investigators out of way will be office operations, victim interviews, non-custodial interviews where they're actually putting together case files and preparing for preparation for prosecutions.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Bart, I wish Chief Chrisman could give us a report on Officer Spence. I know he was involved in an auto accident yesterday. Thanks, Bart. He's doing fine.
He was treated and released. I think he was just kind of banged up a little bit. He's sitting on top of I-24 out here, I think, finishing a crash report. And I believe a lady came off the interstate there and didn't see him in time and hit him in the rear end there. And the vehicle damaged slightly, but I think if you've been in a rear end collision at any speed at all, it just kind of shakes you up and makes you sore all over. But he was transported and treated and released and was home late yesterday.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Glenn Chrisman.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good morning.
Well, I was wondering, I know in Nashville at New Year's, they always give those people rides home from places that's been drinking and stuff. Murfreesboro seems not to want to participate in this right here. And I just wondered why y'all don't participate. because that way, when y'all don't participate, y'all letting people get on the road that y'all might be taking home that's drinking and run into somebody out here that's not drinking and hurt them. And I can't understand why y'all don't participate in this right here. And it seems like y'all'd rather try to let them get on the road and catch them where y'all could get some money. So, I mean, it's just like Murfreesboro, they sit around up there and make these little fines up, $50 fine for this and a $50 fine, we'll just mail it to you. Seems like y'all'd rather let those people get out here on that night and it's drinking, and y'all could be having a car and stuff, running into somebody and hurting them. Y'all'd rather try to catch them. And if you didn't catch them, it might hit somebody where y'all could get the money. And I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, when they hit somebody, we surely don't get any money out of it. I think Nashville has done Sober Ride for quite a while. I would suggest to you there's a big difference in Nashville than there is here, in that Nashville obviously is an entertainment venue. They have a downtown district that is pretty large. They attract a lot of tourism to the downtown area for the guitar drop or the note drop, I guess it was, this year. And so one of the things that they're trying to do is they have volumes of people who may be in the downtown area who have been drinking, is make sure that they get home safely. Certainly we're concerned about those things as well. But instead of working with the Sober Ride program, what we try to do here is use the resources that we have available during those holiday periods and provide enforcement activities and bar checks. Our alcohol countermeasures team and our night shift folks regularly are in and out of night spots and places that serve alcohol to make sure that we don't have people there who are too drunk to drive or that are going to leave those places and get into vehicles and drive off. We're trying to prohibit drunk driving and the danger to our citizens in those enforcement programs that we use in that way. I'll say, as far as the fines go, if somebody is stopped for driving under the influence or stopped for any of the other driving offenses, those fines actually go to the state because they're state offenses. I think what the caller was referencing, and we've talked about this before, is the $50 fine on the red light citations that's mailed to violators. And as we've said before many times, that's a very simple thing. All you have to do is stop when the light's red, and we'll be happy, and you will be too.
Also, Nashville, I think, has two different law enforcement agencies. It is a metro government, so the Nashville Police Department polices the entire metro Nashville area. They are not the ones who are giving the ride homes. It's the sheriff's office.
Davidson County Sheriff's Department, yes.
And they are the ones who, they don't patrol the county. They are in charge of the jail there. It's a whole different lineup of duties.
It is, and I appreciate you making that distinction. That's exactly right.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning. Same to you.
Yes. I was calling in, looking back on 2/11. I just wanted to thank Chief Chrisman, his staff, and officers who took of their own time to come out to the various community meetings that were held to just inform us citizens of maybe why things, what the law was, and why things maybe ended up the way they did, and just wanted to call and let you know how much we appreciate you all doing that. And also, you know, I'm kind of sorry that we're not able to pay you all what you're worth, but I did want to just let you know that you all are very much appreciated, and thank you, and I hope that you can share that sentiment with your officers, and we're looking forward to a great 2012. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. You're very gracious, and we're certainly honored and privileged to be able to serve the people that call Murfreesboro home. We have a great city, a great community, and it's because of the people that live here and that are so supportive of and actively involved in what goes on in their communities that Murfreesboro is such a great place to live, and we are fortunate to have people like that to work with and for. But thank you for your call. That's very, very kind.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Police Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Chief Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm just out here on the highway. I'm headed toward Lovettsville from the old National Highway, and I just wondered what they got going on up under the underpass. They got the road closed signs, and I couldn't get close enough to see what was going on, but I didn't know it was out there this morning. What's the purpose of blocking it off this morning?
To be honest, sir, I don't know. At the first break, I'll check and get that information back to you. If it's a road closure, that suggests to me that some kind of road activity or maybe some construction or road work or something going on there. But I'll be glad to check when we have a moment and get that information back out.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for calling. 893-1450 is our number. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Christman is our guest this morning. We're going to be checking on the traffic situations and weather, and we'll be back and take some more calls. If you have any law and order questions dealing with Murfreesboro, Tennessee, get on the phone now, 893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Christman, our guest this morning. We'll be right back. You treat me like I was your ocean. You swim in my blood when it's warm. My cycle's a circular motion. Protect you and keep you from harm. You live in a world of illusion where everything's peaches and cream. We all face a scarlet conclusion. But we spend our time in a dream.
This is your Good Neighbor Network, WGNS Murfreesboro, WETVLP Murfreesboro, W263 AI Murfreesboro, and W270 AF Murfreesboro.
Year-end closeout sale at Ford of Murfreesboro.
No payments for 90 days.
No payments for 90 days on the 2012 Fiesta, Focus, Fusion, Edge, and Escape.
No payments for 90 days for those who qualify. That's 3 months.
Select your Ford today at Ford of Murfreesboro, where your car or SUV is waiting for you. Ford of Murfreesboro at 1550 Northwest Broad at Northfield Boulevard. Ford, drive one.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Colored gemstones express your personality with color. Our gemstones are all natural, not man-made. From blue sapphire, vibrant ruby, green amethyst, orange citrine to black onyx, excite your mood and your wardrobe with a collection of colored stone jewelry from Bell Jewelers.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
We're loud, we're proud, we're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. We have a very cold and crisp winter morning, so make sure you get that windshield scraped so that you can see out. People can see you also. That's always a good idea. And then, of course, we've also got on I-24 as you make your way into the downtown Nashville area. A bit of congestion around Bell Road. Other than that, pretty smooth sailing right now. Heads of Hair Salon has 10 Nashville area locations. They've been sensibly priced for over 30 years. Come in for Brazilian blowout or catch the latest trend with feather extensions. Call or check out headsofhaircuttingsalon.com to schedule your next visit. With traffic, I'm Randy O'Brien for WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather now? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures in the upper 40s with a south-southwest wind between 5 and 15 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feliber. Right now, 30.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and TV 11. Talk radio, WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station.
Our day will come if we just wait a while. No tears for us.
Welcome back. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Christman is our guest this morning. If you have a question for Glenn Christman, call us. 893-1450, 893-1450. And you were checking on that question that one of the listeners had.
The gentleman called and asked about a blockage down on old Nashville Highway. My understanding is there's a drainage problem of some sort underneath the underpass where the railroad overcross is there, and they have that stretch of road blocked from Garrison, which is right behind the new Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, back down to Brinkley Road. So hopefully they'll get that issue resolved and get that stretch of road open back up.
So it has water or something in there,
apparently. Planning and engineering, I think, closed that road earlier this morning. So hopefully they'll get that resolved and get that open soon. But that's why the closure is there.
893-1450 is our phone number. If you have any questions dealing with the city of Murfreesboro, give us a call, 893-1450. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you're looking for in the new year is approval to have a separate location for the detectives. Are there any other areas that are high on your wish list for this new year?
Well, and if I can back up just a minute, the council did approve that. So we're looking to get those folks moved in the first quarter. I think that'll provide some great benefit to them and really enhance that operation. Just by fact of them having more space to work in. I mean, when I say criminal investigations, we have a building where we have our vice operation housed and our gang operation housed, which is part of our criminal investigation section. But we also then have domestic violence investigators. We have people that specialize in child sexual abuse investigations. We have property crimes and personal crimes and major crime scene kind of work. You know, if you have a, heaven forbid, if you have a major crime of some sort, you know, we live in the era of CSI, so when crime scene investigators go out to process those scenes, they don't just take photographs and gather evidence in the way they used to. They're looking for different ways to gather information and process fingerprints. They're looking for evidence that may be later used for DNA examinations and those kinds of things. So the gathering of evidence sometimes becomes a pretty voluminous process if you have boxes and boxes of things that you collect that have to then be brought in, spread out, photographed, cataloged, properly packaged and stored, or sent to the criminal to the crime lab for forensic analysis. That takes space. It takes having the facilities that really lend itself to processing that kind of evidence. The other thing that happens is, anymore in a city that has well over 100,000 residents, we're working closely with our state and federal partners when we have things like synthetic drug operations. We had one of those back in the latter part of 2011 here with the TBI. We're regularly interacting with and working collaboratively with the FBI, the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, because crimes that affect Murfreesboro, particularly on any kind of significant scale, usually aren't just located right here. They have interstate and intrastate connections, which means that it's to our best benefit and the benefit of our residents to have federal agencies involved in some of those case prosecutions. Because if we have federal crimes that are being committed, the federal system obviously provides much more stringent punishment than the state system does, and we have a better chance of holding those folks accountable. And if they're involved in gang activity or intrastate drug transactions, then, you know, there are more severe penalties that can be exacted against them that ultimately makes our community safer when you remove those people and take them out of the mix here. So those things all take space, and we're excited about that. Now, beyond that, to the wish list.
Well, let me ask you this. Since this has been approved, when do you think you will have the move ready to take place?
I'd like to see it happen in the first quarter. We haven't taken possession of the building yet. I expect we'll get that done probably sometime, perhaps this week, if not next. There's some minor renovation we'll have to do there, very minor. And then the move, we've got to purchase some furniture and some other things to really make that space usable for what we'll need there. But I'd hope that we'd be in there before March the 1st, maybe as early as February, but that may be a little optimistic.
That's fast moving.
It is. It is.
Where is this located?
It's over on Rutherford Boulevard, actually right in front of Black Fox School. It's the old Bob Parks Realty office, and it It lent itself very well to what we are doing because we'll actually have 32 people working out of that office. When it was a real estate office, I think they had 25 offices over there. So this space was just almost move-in ready. It had been well kept, needs very little maintenance going in. We'll have to do a few little things. But as I say, the office spaces are there and already segregated. It's got some pretty good-sized meeting space rooms in it and some conference rooms in it. I think it'll make it work very well for
us. Just perfect for you.
It's good.
Let's go to the phones again. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Crispin. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to talk about the meth. I've seen on y'all's website where they said that they got stronger laws now about the cold medicine again.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, wouldn't it be a? I think it'd be a good idea to either ban that particular cold medicine or make it a prescription only. Have they ever thought about that? Because apparently, you know, I'm not no expert on it, but apparently this is a big ingredient in this stuff, and they can't make it without it. I think the smart thing to do would be to make it a prescription only, rather than over the counter. And have they ever thought about doing that? Now hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. They have. In fact, that issue was hotly debated in the General Assembly last year, and I expect that it will be back again this year. And the caller is right, and what he's talking about is pseudoephedrine, because if the pseudoephedrine or the ephedrine is removed and it's made a scheduled drug so that you have to have a prescription to obtain that, then that pretty much locks down that key ingredient in the manufacture of methamphetamine. And the TBI, and ultimately, I think last year, finally, the Tennessee Sheriff's Association and the Tennessee Association Chiefs of Police, and I believe the District Attorney General's Conference, I need to be careful about that, but I believe as a group, we all at one point were in support of that, but there's a lot of debate surrounding that, because what ends up happening is if you schedule pseudoephedrine, then Sinus Tylenol, Sinus Advil, any of those medications that a lot of people rely on in these cold winter seasons to help them with sinus drainage and sinus infections and all those kinds of things that currently they can buy over the counter, all of those now become scheduled drugs, which require a visit to the doctor. And one of the issues that came up and was hotly debated is you may be scheduling and controlling the key ingredient in the manufacture of methamphetamine, but the other thing that you're going to do is that's going to have an adverse impact, particularly on people that are on fixed incomes and that may be sick during these seasons and need to be able to buy that legitimately, lawfully over the counter without having to go to the doctor and pay a doctor bill and pay a copay and all these other kinds of issues. So the caller's exactly right. I think if you schedule it, then a lot of the methamphetamine issues go away. But as an old professor at the university used to say, you know, that's one of those good intentions, unexpected consequences things. There's a downside to that. The way that the General Assembly dealt with that in 2011 was they put in a much more elaborate reporting system that will require people who buy those drugs to provide more information at the point of sale, which then can be automated and becomes real-time live online to the pharmacies, so that if people are buying pseudoephedrine in quantities to make methamphetamine, that word will get around pretty quickly and you'll be able to identify people that are buying to make meth.
And would that be connected state to state?
It would be.
So that would be even better.
Well, it
versus
would.
Versus a state law.
It would, and the hope is that regulatory model will help address the issue without the adverse impact of the scheduling, which is what the caller suggests. But he's got a point.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Crispin.
I would like to ask the chief, is it against the law for your neighbors have them old cars sitting out in the driveway in the flats flats on the tires and the tags are not up to date. In other words, and make the neighborhood look bad. I was inquiring about, is the law against that?
If you're referring to inside the Murfreesboro city limits, there are codes regulations that cover those kinds of situations, and you can call the Murfreesboro Building and Codes Department. I believe that number is 893-3750. I'll double check it as we're talking here. But if you'll call that number, the Murfreesboro Building Codes Department, 893-3750, and tell them what you've got, they'll send an inspector out to take a look at that. And they can provide a warning and or citations for violations for those kinds of situations, and they deal with that pretty regularly.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
Out of curiosity, how long has the vehicle been there?
It's been there like 7-8 months.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Okay. And that is the correct number, 893-3750, Murfreesboro Building and Codes, and they'll be glad to help you with that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And let's go to this line. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Hello
there. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question, and it's maybe an unusual question.
Okay.
if somebody is doing work for the police department, I don't know, maybe on a volunteer basis, or do police put recorders in a vehicle?
Well, that is an unusual question, and without having more context, I guess, to the question, it's hard for me to answer that, but let me give you a general answer. If we have vice officers or undercover drug officers that are using paid informants to gather information that may be used later in a drug prosecution case, it is almost standard process or standard practice for those people to be wired so that conversations can be recorded and information can be recorded and documented for later evidence in a criminal prosecution. So that is normal. It is normal for the police to record statements that they take from people, from victims and or suspects in ongoing criminal investigations, just for clarity and conciseness. Certainly, most of our zone police vehicles have video recorders in them, and we have recordings that are connected to that. So recordings are part of what we do, but that's not to say that everything that happens with a police officer is recorded either in video or audio tape. It just depends on the circumstance.
What if somebody is like an informer? I mean, they're associated with the police, but they're not a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about Crime Stoppers?
Well, my husband said there was a recording in the car, and he's not a police officer.
Mm-hmm. The closest thing that I could suggest would be connected to that would be where you had somebody that was maybe working with an investigator on a case as an informant or maybe an undercover operative or something, and it is pretty common for those kinds of interactions and transactions to be recorded. But again, without knowing more of the specifics, it's hard to say. I will say this, if you would like to call later, you can call my office, 849-2673.
I'm sorry, let me get a pen here. Yeah,
sure.
I would, because...
Sure.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I apologize, sir. I don't... okay, what was it, 849?
849-2673. 849-2673, and I'll be glad to talk to you off the air about that and maybe answer your questions more in detail. But generally, that's the case with recordings.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 5743?
849-2673.
Oh, 2673. I apologize.
That's all right.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call.
And good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, those blue lights that people have on their cars, I don't know whether they're for declaration, are they legal? And I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
It depends on how they're being used. It's ironic that you'd call. I looked at a report yesterday where someone actually had some kind of a flashing blue light and was actually stopping cars, and we were able to locate that person and arrest them. I see a lot of small little lights, blue lights, on cars that probably are ornamentation or some kind of decoration. I think if they are being used in an attempt to stop vehicles or to represent themselves as police officers, then they are violations of the law, and there is a charge of what we call criminal simulation or impersonation of a police officer that applies to those kinds of situations. And we don't see people arrested for that often, you know, a few times a year. But I think it goes back to the intent of the person who has any kind of lighting on their car as to whether or not they're trying to impersonate a police officer. If that's the case, then it can be a problem. If not, usually you don't see police action in those cases. Best rule of thumb would be if you see one that's suspicious to you, give us a call, and certainly the regular dispatch number is 893-1311, 893-1311. If it's an emergency situation, certainly you can dial 911. If you can give us a description of the vehicle and its location, then we'd be glad to send an officer out to check that person and find out what's going on.
Now, on this person that you arrested, I remember in our newscast, I guess earlier in the week, there was a person pulled over with a person, and they didn't feel comfortable with mm-hmm. the situation. They mm-hmm. used their cell phone to call the police department. The dispatcher said, no, we don't have anyone in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that had been pulled over drove away, and the supposed officer did not do anything, which obviously lets you know something was not quite right there.
Exactly.
How do you, what would be a clue that would let you know this is not a policeman that's pulling you over?
Well, a couple of things. I think, and let me answer your question from both sides. The clue would be if you see a light flashing and you pull over and someone approaches your car and doesn't have proper credentials. Now, we have a lot of people that drive plain cars. We have a lot of people that wear plain clothes. But when they approach your vehicle, they should have some kind of a badge displayed. A lot of our undercover people will wear, when they make traffic stops, they'll wear a badge around their neck, and they should be able to produce credentials if they're requested to do that. But I think the first thing that a citizen wants to look for is there a badge that I can see that would designate authority and help identify somebody as a police officer? Then I think if the next thing would be if you interact with someone that's in plain clothes and has a badge around their neck, they should say, I'm Detective so-and-so with the Murfreesboro Police Department. I'm Investigator so-and-so with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. The other thing that you'll see in a lot of situations, and we mentioned Terry Spence earlier, Terry is one of our traffic enforcement officers that works days, but he drives a street appearance vehicle. So on the outside, his car looks normal. It's not marked, and it doesn't have exterior lights. They're all interior. But he wears a uniform. So when he pulls somebody over and gets out, obviously he's in uniform. There's no doubt about who he is or what he's doing. Here's the other side of the question, or the other side of the answer. If you are pulled over by somebody and you are wary of whether or not they're a police officer, keep your windows rolled up until you see a badge or some form of identification. If you're concerned about whether or not it is a police officer, do exactly what this person did that you just described. Dial 911, tell them where you are, ask them to send the police immediately there. In some cases, we've had, in previous broadcasts, we've had women who have called and said, what if I'm unsure and feel unsafe about a plain car that may be trying to pull me over? And an alternative suggestion there is pull to the right lane, slow to a very slow speed, but keep your vehicle moving, and move to a place that is well lit, hopefully where there are other people there. Because if it's a legitimate traffic stop, certainly what the police want you to do is pull over and stop, mm-hmm. so we can investigate whatever it is that we've stopping you for. But if it's not, then we want you to get to a place of safety where there are other people. And if, in fact, it is a police officer behind you, the safest way to do that is to slow down, you know, but keep moving to a place where you feel more safe and where it's well lit.
What would go through a police officer's mind? Let's say he was a real officer,
mm-hmm.
and the person's unsure,
mm-hmm.
and you're out in the country,
mm-hmm.
And we do have some rural, very secluded areas here.
We do.
And you just slowed down, but you kept driving until you got to a store, which might be, you know, who knows, 2 or 3 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to say, what is this person thinking?
Well, that's exactly what he's going to think. But, and that's not the best of the alternatives from one sense, because obviously what that police officer wants you to do is pull over and stop. But again, the other side of that, and the reason why you slow down and you drive to the right side of the road, the police officer, if there's an emergency there that he's trying to get you stopped for, it's because your driving is erratic, your driving is too fast, you're weaving back and forth across the road. There may be a warrant for a person in a car that they're trying to get pulled over. And if this person feels unsafe and unsure about their surroundings, and they pull to the right so they're not endangering other motoring traffic, and they drive very slowly so that they're not a danger to the officer and they're not a danger to the oncoming traffic, then probably what's going to happen is, if they get to that place where it's well lit or they feel more safe and they stop there, you know, the traffic stop's going to proceed as it normally would have if it's a police officer. If they're driving very slowly, that'll give the police officer time to have other people come to assist him,
mm-hmm.
if need be. Maybe a marked car, if it's an unmarked car, and that's right. Why the driver is apprehensive about stopping. And at some point, what they may do is pull over in front and block that car off, you know, once they get another officer there to assist. I think the main thing that both parties want is, number one, for who's ever in the car, if they're a law-abiding citizen who's just maybe in a situation where they're being stopped by the police, for them to be safe and for the police to be safe, and for whatever is the basis of that investigation to be able to be checked and worked through so that both parties can go on about their business. That's a very real issue for citizens, particularly females who may be out late at night and there's a car trying to pull them over and they can't tell whether it's the police or not. Unfortunately, those things happen now and again.
We'll be back and take more of your calls in just a moment. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is our guest this morning.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I do feel that I have been given the greatest gift. They have been over backwards to help me.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not.
For the older people that have family members that are struggling with this, please understand, you only have to call this number.
Family Staffing Solutions, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
WeatherEye.
We'll have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures in the upper 40s with a south-southwest wind between 5 and 15 miles per hour. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber. Right now, 30.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen. Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Most of the people listening to my voice right now know someone who is battling an addiction. Spring to Life is a Christ-centered recovery program right here in Murfreesboro. Our mission is to help people find freedom from addiction and discover how much fun is found in living with Christ. So if you know someone who is suffering from addiction, give us a call at 615-849-3247 or visit our website at springtolife.net. Spring to Life, learning to love living again.
GNS Talk Radio, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11. The Good Neighbor Network is on WGNS Murfreesboro.
We have about 2.5 minutes left in the program. Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Crisman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What I would like to know from the chief, is there anything that can be done about the hoodlums that hang on the corners and stand in the streets, flagging cars down with these baggy pants and white t-shirts? Is there anything at all can be done about that?
Well, there is. I think the best thing to do is when you see that, or if you're having a problem with that, if you'll call us, and I'll do the same thing we did before. If there's a specific location where that's an issue, call me at 849-2673. If I'm not there and you want to leave a message, you can leave a voice message or just leave a phone message, and I'll be glad to call you back. And we'll be glad to take note of that and see if we can't address some of those situations. Certainly, there's nothing against the law to stand on a sidewalk or to walk along the edge of the street, but if they're disrupting traffic, if they're involved in drug transactions, if there's other things like that going on, then there are things that can be done. We'll be glad to help you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
And on that note, we want to say thank you, Chief Crisman, for joining us today.
My pleasure as always. Happy New Year to everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds like fun. Stay with us. Much more to come on WGNS. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking lawns and gardens. Mitchell Mote will be our guest tomorrow here on WGNS. Till then, try to stay warm. And that's, like the song said, easier said than done. I think it's 28 degrees right now. That's cold.
Chase.